Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just go to cropmetcalf.com. Join their team today. Junks coming to you live from the MedStar Capital's Iceplex in Arlington, VA. Site of media day for the Caps.
Can I give you a little radio insider that you'll laugh at?
Please.
Valdez just sent me a message, which I know Jason would be livid about.
Okay.
So we're doing the show here from the Capitals Iceplex, and we have hockey going on behind us and underneath us. And so when we do live reads or when we're doing the show, you can kind of hear it.
Yeah.
Adds a little to the ambiance of doing the live show, I think. We're going to have Peter Laviolette on in 45 minutes. The head coach of the Capitals is great. Well, anyway, I have to do a spot for Carnival Cruise Lines, which is great. I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be in the system before tomorrow.
Okay.
So I would typically cut that after the show. But if there's all this sound, it's not going to fly. So I'm probably going to have to drive to the studios.
Oh, my
I told
God.
You were going to laugh.
Dagger.
That's
dagger
a disaster.
Of daggers right there.
You're right.
Couldn't
I would
you just
not
do it in the
happy.
Morning before the show?
That's what I just asked because I've been getting there at like 4:45
yeah,
in the morning
just
to do workouts. But they need it in the system today. So.
Time is of the essence.
Is it possible we could tell? Hey, guys, can you just zip it for 2 minutes?
I don't think so.
Man, those
no pucks.
Those
slamming.
Pucks are going to be clapping and smacking against those boards and glass.
Well,
so
maybe
hard.
They're not. Maybe they're gone before 10 o'clock.
I looked at the schedule. They have a schedule that's like rolling on both sides. So this is the Capital side. The other side is, at least right now, primarily figure skating. I think they call that the Arlington rink.
Okay, I don't
and
know.
And this is the Capitals. Right.
Okay.
And it looks like every hour it's booked.
Oh, okay.
I mean, literally, it's just rolling and just different.
Valdez,
you know,
does he have to come in after the show? Oh, okay. His mic's not working.
Whose mic's not working? Valdez's?
Yeah. Oh, well, that sucks. That sucks, bro. You got to.
And then I got to go home and get ready for
tonight.
For Ripken Uncorked.
That I'm stressing over. I'm at a 12 out of 10 on the stress
level. But it's not only I got to have my Ripken Uncorked gear, I have to have my gear for the show because I'm spending the night at Homewood Suites.
Right.
And then I'm actually playing golf on Friday at Woodmont. I need to have that all. I got to get it all set up in advance.
But
the bad beat
have fun
is
driving
from here to D.C. to do a one-minute commercial read and then driving home.
Sucks to be
to
you
only drive back to
is
D.C.
Is any way you could do it in your phone? Like,
I don't know.
We'll some guys do out. Whole podcasts on their phone.
I understand.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to do a good spot. I'm excited.
All right, what would you guys do? I'm trying to ponder this. I know we're about to hit the skins, but I'm leaving for Ithaca after the show on Friday, right? Going to have dinner with my daughter and a couple of her teammates. That'll be nice Friday night. They play Columbia at 2 p.m. I'm scheduled to stay in Ithaca for another night and then just get up early and be home by noon, you know? But now I'm thinking I should just leave at like 5 p.m. and just make the 5.5 hour drive.
On Saturday night?
On Saturday night. Just be done with it.
As opposed
doing,
to what?
You're doing a lunch?
As opposed to just staying there and, you know, having dinner by myself.
And leaving and early Sunday
whistle,
morning.
Whistle, you know.
And leaving at 6 or 7
and leaving
in the
at
morning.
Like 5 or 6 in the morning.
I'd leave the night before.
But I'm going to be so tired and grumpy.
Because Sunday mornings are the
how
best.
How is that going to be different from any other time?
I'm tortured.
That is a good point.
Tired and grumpy.
I'm just tortured by it. It just sucks.
You'll figure it out.
Because it's not like my daughter will hang out with me on Saturday. After that game Saturday, those kids are all going out. You know, I don't think they've been able to go out for like 2 weeks.
Yep. Oh, they don't go straight to the library to study on a Saturday?
Well, they do that every other day.
Right. Yeah.
But they're ready to cut loose on Saturday.
I mean, it's Ivy League school, so.
Yeah, no.
They're gone.
They're gone.
They don't want to hang out with their dad or mom on Saturday night.
No. Like, I'm going to get her Friday night dinner. Saturday, so the game will end at 4. We'll wait after, see her until about 4:30.
Yeah, then hit the road.
Then I'll just hit the road and just the death
hit
march
the road,
home.
Ricky.
By the way, not going to the Eagles game this week. We are going to go to the Packers game October 23rd.
Ah,
so
nice.
I will be going to FedEx, which I haven't been for several years, actually.
Who's hitting you? Who's hooking you up with the tickets? RJ?
Kelsey.
Oh, okay. That's right. Kelsey,
got
I forgot.
Connection.
Ah, very good.
She's got VIP.
RJ is the usual hookup.
Kelsey's got connections now.
Yeah, that's great. Maybe I'll start hitting her up. All right, you want me to tell you what's going on with the Commanders?
Yes. Time to hit the skins, as we do every day at 7 a.m. during the season.
I've been told that Valdez has this audio. I'll set it up before he plays it. But Cakes pointed out before the week, before the game against Detroit, that Amon-Ra St. Brown was drafted about 30 spots after.
I think it was post the game, but
I thought you mentioned it before.
Okay, maybe.
I thought you did mention it before. And it's very annoying that Amon-Ra St. Brown was drafted like 30 spots after De'Ami Brown, who I believe played one snap on Sunday.
And he got the field.
And it wasn't lost on...
I don't remember him being on the field.
On St. Brown, who's kind of made it known that he's memorized all like 18 or 19 receivers that were picked ahead of him.
He likes to chirp. I think he's also the one who said that they knew that if they put them in bunch formations, the Commanders couldn't handle it.
Because they watched the film of the Jags game, and anytime they bunched up like Christian Kirk and Zay Jones, the Commanders DBs had no idea what to do.
Yeah. But anyway, of a basic formation.
Anyway, he went off and he had a big game, and afterwards he commented on, you know, he definitely noticed that the Commanders were one of those teams that passed on him.
You know, the draft, it is what it is. Even the Commanders, they got a guy before me over there. I believe his name is De'Ami Brown. I don't know how many catches he had. You guys can probably tell me that, or how many yards he had, but I don't forget things like that. You know, I see him across the sideline from where I'm standing during the game, and every team that I'm gonna give every team hell.
Yeah, well, he
went on to say
even the Bengals
kind of
they drafted Ja'Marr Chase.
I like Amon-Ra St. Brown. I like the fact he plays with a chip, but kind of a jerk move to call out De'Ami. Like,
you're just gonna do it though.
Yeah, it's just what he did.
I think he went
nature.
On to say he didn't see him on the field much.
Yeah, I mean he's
he definitely said
he should have just killed the Commanders and not killed De'Ami Brown.
He holds the grudge.
It's not De'Ami's fault.
Yeah,
that
it's not De'Ami's Brown that he got drafted, overdrafted by the Commanders.
Yeah.
I mean, St. Brown, he had 90 catches last year in his rookie year, and he's been targeted 24 times in two games.
Yeah.
He's clearly a number one guy.
Oh, yeah. He's the
fantastic.
Guy. He's the guy.
Do you understand my pain in one of my high-stakes leagues where I was targeting Amon-Ra St. Brown in the fourth round? I was like, I'm going to overdraft him in the fourth round because I love him. I love what he did at the end of last season.
Yep.
And then some jerk in my league sniped him, and I was crestfallen. And then I had to settle for Allen Robinson.
Oh.
Wah, wah, wah. I'm distraught.
Yeah, you got screwed
there. Visibly distraught. I mean, he's a difference maker, and he's not going to be impacted by the fact that Jameson Williams was drafted high. It doesn't matter that DJ Chark was signed there. Jared Goff loves him. He loves throwing him the ball, and
he's a playmaker.
He's clearly an impact player.
No doubt. So if we were in studio, I would have been able to work this out with Valdez, but Fred Smoot was on with Grant and Danny this week. And he talks about what they need to do to fix the defense. And I actually agree with virtually everything he's saying here. So I'm just going to read some of the quotes to you. He says, first of all, we need to do some shuffling of the cards. Kendall Fuller needs to either play nickel or free safety, period. That's where he needs to be. He's the smart one. He's the talker. He's the guy. Next, St. Juice needs to be outside at 6'3" with ability, no fades. None of that's going to happen. And then he says, second, if Jamin Davis can't play in space or can't process stuff when the formation shifts, this is what Smoot's saying, not me. He says, blitz him, which is what I've been saying. Play him on the other side of the ball at all times. Give him one job, blitz. And he goes, what am I going to do on third down, coach? Blitz. What are you going to do on second down? Blitz. And he said,
every down.
And this is what I thought of when I saw them in week one when they did do a lot of blitzing. He said, we had Greg Williams at the time. We had a theory. And I said this yesterday. Plus one. We're always going to go plus one, so you've got to block that up. We're going to bring one extra guy every time.
The only problem with that theory is if it is so easy to decipher that Jamin Davis on the field, he's going to blitz, the opposing quarterback is going to quickly go hot read or find the space, and the back end's got to hold up, and so far it hasn't been holding up.
Well, he said that what Greg Williams used to tell the corners is, all you have to do is cover early because there's not going to be any late.
Understood, but he had Fred Smoot and Sean Springs at the time who were really high-level cornerbacks.
Right. Well, he says William Jackson should be able to do that. That's why they brought him in. Mm-hmm. And then he says with like guys like Montez and John Allen, he says he needs to see stunts. He needs to see all kinds of designs to free certain people up. And what I would say as far as Jamin goes, if you think it's a big tell, there's been a lot of guys that have made their career being sort of blitzing linebackers. You just move them around.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys who challenge
different spots.
I mean, they just call them edge rushers now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So
if that's all he can do, turn him into an edge rusher.
Well, let's see what they
it's
do
clearly
this week.
One of his strengths.
If they come in with that same bland scheme on Sunday and they get torched for 450 yards and they lose 31-17, might see a move on the staff.
Extra day, though. They've had an extra day to prepare, right, for the Eagles?
That's going to matter.
I don't know, man.
I
kind of think, look, the Eagles are either going – like if the Eagles stomp all over the Washington Commanders this week, the national narrative is they are the favorite in the NFC or one of the favorites in the NFC. But they also could just be due for a dud.
They could be, but I'm going
with the due theory a little bit.
I think the narrative's already out there that they're a favorite. I mean, Tom Brady, he doesn't look the same, even though Tampa's 2-0. Aaron Rodgers hasn't looked fantastic. NFC's wide open, and the Eagles could just be that team that just grabs it and runs with it.
Yeah.
Two games into a 17-game season.
It's early.
I was listening to Ira Kaufman, who we've had on the show a bunch this morning, coming in. He was on Mad Dog yesterday, and he was talking about Tom Brady. And he said, Tom Brady is miserable. He's miserable on the field. He's miserable off the field. Mm. He comes in after a win, a huge win against the Saints. He gave the media 60 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
60 seconds.
His life is in turmoil.
Put the media on the speed round?
Yeah, after a win. Usually after wins, he sits up there and answers 10 minutes worth of questions. He gave him 60 seconds, and he rolled out.
He doesn't want to deal with the nonsense, though, of the brawl and all that stuff.
No, he did that last week, too. He's just he's just miserable.
He also looks
off the field
unhealthy. He's butt skinny. He looks so gaunt. I know he's a weird eater.
He still had a great touchdown pass though in the back of the end zone.
Yeah,
like a dime from like 40 yards to I think Perryman.
But I don't think there's any doubt this is his last year. Right? There's just too much turmoil in his life, and I think he even alluded to the punishment. You know, when you get older, it's a lot different than when you're 23, 24 years old. Just a couple other things real quick as we get close to this Week 3 matchup with the Eagles. On the injury front, there is some good news. John Allen, Cam Curl, and Wes Schweitzer were all full participants in practice yesterday. That's great news. Of course, Curl missed the first two games after undergoing surgery on his thumb. Schweitzer injured his hamstring in week one and missed the game to Lions. And, of course, Allen had that groin MRI or whatever and reportedly played more than they had anticipated, but he was still a full go in practice yesterday. So that is good news.
Will Schweitzer start at center this week with Roulier being out?
I think so.
They're shuffling a bunch of guys around on that line.
I thought the first week the offensive line was impressive. Last week, not so much.
No, last week they struggled. And then last but not
least. Some of it might be on Carson Holt. He does tend to hold on to the ball a little longer.
Yeah, I'm not sure that was the case, though, in that game. Yeah. I think they were just getting overwhelmed. And then last but not least, in the Eagles injury report front, I guess it's not a big deal, just an illness, so you figure it's just a day or so. Quez Watkins did not participate in practice. That would hurt them,
the
right?
The deep threat, yeah.
If he wasn't there.
He's
and then Avante Maddox, their corner, was a limited participant. He's got a back issue. And their linebacker, Hassan Reddick, has a knee issue. He was also a limited participant in practice.
Very good. Junk's coming to you live from MedStar Capital's Iceplex for Washington Capitals Media Day. Don't forget, head coach of the Capitals, Peter Laviolette, joins us coming up at 7:45.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's coming to you live from MedStar Capital's Iceplex in Arlington. Caps training camp fully underway today. It's media day here at MedStar. We'll be joined by Peter Laviolette coming up in just about 20 minutes. He's on the show at 7:45.
All right. You know, we mentioned this yesterday and have been talking about it for a few days, ever since that Adnan Syed case, you know, serial, that dude was released. I've been fascinated by it. I think the country's been fascinated by it. And I've been re-digging into it, discovered the undisclosed podcast, the case against Adnan Syed that was aired on HBO, and all of this other evidence that's come about since Serial came about in, like, what, 2014, 2015, whenever that was. And so I was re-listening to one of the podcasts that came out a few years ago. And remember I told you that one of the shady characters, and I believe this is one of the reasons why they let Adnan go, is the guy that found this poor Hayes body in the woods in the shallow grave. Remember he said he was just driving to work, back to work. He was like an engineer or something. He was going back to work, but he had to pee. So he went back in the woods. He didn't want any cars that were driving by to see him. And it was like kind of preposterous because he went pretty deep into the brush. To find the body, like, it just so happened randomly that he found the body, like he saw the hand or whatever he saw.
I mean, sometimes you
grave.
Do go a little bit deeper. Like, I can tell you, just yesterday I peed in the woods.
Yeah.
Because I was at a driving
range. You usually go like 5 feet. You usually go 5 feet.
Yeah, but
in
I wanted
there.
To get like behind a tree.
I know, you don't really want anybody to see it, but really all you don't want them to see is your Johnson.
Correct.
You know, as long as you. It's
you
okay
don't
if they
be...
see you standing.
Correct.
But nobody's going to go 20 yards in.
Okay, so he was 20 yards in.
I don't know, but I know that one of the examiners said it never made sense that he went that deep in just to go pee. It never made sense.
Right.
Okay, so whatever. Just keep that in mind. And by the way, the guy has some shady criminal past. Post, okay, where there's like maybe like an indecent exposure they knew about before, okay, an indecent exposure, that's not a good tell, and then later I think there might even be like a rape allegation against him later, I'm not sure. But then I'm doing this research, and this was found years ago, but not very highly publicized, but they did give him a polygraph, like within a few days of him finding the body, and the first polygraph, he actually failed the polygraph. But then they gave him a second one, and the second one he passed, but the second one they asked him totally dumb questions. It was almost like they set him up to pass it. The first one they asked him pretty descriptive questions.
So you're saying you believe he's a suspect now?
100%. The police gave him basically a fake polygraph just so he could pass it because they were already onto the Adnan dude. So they didn't want him to...
Did he have any connection with the victim?
I'm not sure, but I think they found the car, like, at a relative's of his house in that same, like, parking area in the same townhouse community. So he had a relative that lived in that community where they found the car. So that kind of ties him a little bit. But the first polygraph, they asked him, are you withholding any information about the death of this woman? He said, no. Did you do anything to cause this girl's death? He said, no. Have you ever been in the company of that girl that you found before you found her? He said, no, right?
The
polygraph guy said he failed that.
Right.
Then they asked him. Then they brought him back like 2 weeks later, and they asked him these nonsensical questions. They said, do you know if the girl that you found died because she was stabbed with a knife? He goes, no, I don't know. He said, do you know if the girl that you died because she was shot?
If he passed it.
Yeah, but these are like, these mean nothing. They just asked them basically, had nothing to do with this case. They asked random things. In other words, she was strangled.
How is that random?
Well, she was strangled.
Okay, but the first question.
And they're saying, did you know if she was stabbed? He goes, no. Well, anybody might know that. Do you know if she was shot? Well, do you know if she was poisoned? No. So in other words, they didn't ask him specific questions really. They were just really general nonsensical questions. They clearly set him up to ask him questions to pass and get him off the radar.
What's this guy's name?
I think it was like Alonzo Sellers or something like that. They call him Mr. S.
All right.
I don't know. I mean, polygraphs.
Anyway, that was a huge tell for me.
Polygraphs are unreliable. You can't rely on them in court. And it sounds like, look, polygraphs are supposed to judge your emotions, right? The way your heart...
There's a lot of different factors in
like
there, but sure.
Heart is like a factor. Is your heart going to race on a certain question?
And he flunked the first one, he passed the second one.
If he killed the victim, you would think that he would have failed that test given those questions, I think.
No, the second question's
But those questions are about murdering somebody.
Yeah, but they're not really specific to this one and how she died. Believe me, my opinion is not unique. That is the general consensus. Is they basically gave him a polygraph that he could easily pass to get him out of the way because they had already focused on Adnan and faulty cell phone technology.
So you think that they're back on Mr. S?
Yes. They say that there's two suspects that they now believe they need to investigate more fully.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's just kind of stunning that after having listened to Serial all those years, I kind of was like torn on it. And now having done more research and followed some of these other podcasts that have focused on the case the last 5 or 6 years, I'm fairly convinced
that dude
was 100% innocent.
Had indecent exposure charges, including 1994. He allegedly ran naked in a residential neighborhood. And 1996, he did it again.
Not a great look, but I once streaked at the University of Maryland.
That's different.
Goofy college
that's
thing.
A college
Everybody's
ritual.
Doing it. Like that's
different.
Well, would you take your clothes off now and run through your neighborhood?
Probably not.
Or any other neighborhood? I don't think you would.
Anyway, he's a huge suspect. And the woman that initiated all of this, the reason why that dude is free, Adnan, is because of the family friend Rabia. She's the one that got Serial to do the whole podcast, and she actually hates the Serial people now because she says they were shoddy work. They brought a lot of attention to the case, but they weren't complete. They gave up on Adnan after they did their 8 or 9 episodes, and she found all this exculpatory evidence post Serial. And they never did anything to update their audience.
Well,
so she hates.
Well,
the
your
serial
guy
people.
Is out. He's out.
He's out.
He can do whatever. He can do whatever he wants.
And she had to put on Twitter and Valdez.
No, I think he's under home detention for.
I think for
days.
A while. Yeah.
Oh, is he okay?
She's having to fight off all these women that are trying to holler at him.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. Because he's going to have.
He knew they were going to come out.
He's going to have a field day. Although he is a really, really religious guy, so I don't know.
Right.
How that'll work for him. But if you've been in prison for 23 years, it might not be that discerning.
I don't care how religious you are.
Really religious guy who may or may have not murdered somebody.
I'm pretty sure he didn't. There's literally no reason to murder her for him. There was no reason.
He said he wanted to kill her.
I never saw that. Where did he say he wanted to kill her?
From what I read, it was in a note.
I don't think so.
Well, what was the reason for Mr. S to kill her?
Well, I think that could just be a crazy person. I mean, crazy people kill people all the time.
Same ex-boyfriends are more likely to kill than random strangers.
And she broke up with him, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
There's a reason right there. He was pissed off.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he doesn't strike you as that guy.
You know what? I'm with you. You've convinced me.
Thank you.
I'm not going to argue about it with you anymore.
You can't.
We had Kevin Davis on yesterday. He tried to convince you, but
Kevin knows nothing about that case. He's talked to the prosecutor.
Well, what he does know is he just knows the prosecutor. So that's
right.
He's basing a lot of it on.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't doubt what he's saying, that she's trying to score points with the, you know, with what what do they call that crowd? He was saying, what did he call that crowd?
Progressive crowd.
The progressive crowd or whatever. Yeah.
So
anyway, fascinating.
You've convinced me.
Thank you.
Syed should be out.
Yes. Yes. And there's a murder.
I don't have to watch the doc anymore.
You're good. EBC.
I don't have to listen to Serial.
I do recommend for people that are interested that HBO, if you have HBO Max, which I think Jason has, The Case Against Adnan. Watch that.
And I recommend that you watch the show with Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez, Only Murders in the Building, which is clearly based off Serial, which is really good.
I don't think you'd be into that show.
Why?
It's a comedy.
It's a comedy. I just don't think you'd be into it.
Yeah, most comedy's not funny.
Martin Short is funny.
Martin Short is pretty funny. Steve Martin, pretty funny.
I mean, those guys were funny 50 years ago. They're still funny today, Cakes?
They're winning Emmys now.
They're still pretty funny.
Emmys. AJ has an Emmy.
That's a local Emmy.
Yeah,
I think Steve
true.
Martin and Martin Short got
the
big sillies.
The real thing.
I'm sure the real enchiladas. Ones are just as a sham as the local Emmys. Everyone has an Emmy but the Jones.
He's going to go to his grave. His dying words are going to be, should have won an Emmy.
We totally should have won an
Emmy. When I told that story yesterday about my wife watching Netflix for 5.5 hours in bed 2 nights ago, you asked me what the show was called.
Yeah.
And she's addicted to it. It's called In the Dark. And it's about a blind girl who she's a witness to a murder.
Okay.
Or she, I don't know. I don't
like
know.
It's like a whodunit?
Kind of. But it's kind of a comedy, she said, but apparently she loves it, and the actress who portrays the blind girl, she loves her. She's not blind in real life, but that's the name of the show, In the Dark.
Well, nice. Our guy John DePompa gave me he actually sent me a DM this morning, and he's giving me a recommendation of a new crime doc to watch on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen this. It's Keep Sweet, Pray, and Obey. Have you heard of it?
Have not.
Nope.
He says it's really, really good, but it's also very disturbing. So that
I'm
alone
like the
might
opposite
keep
of you.
Me away
I
from
can,
it.
I can do very disturbing.
You can do that?
Yeah,
I'm
certainly.
The opposite of you. I'm not into the crime docs.
I'm
into,
into crime
I'm into the
docs.
Fictions.
You aren't? No, yeah. I like I can watch any Dateline. If I stumble on a Dateline and I have some time, I'm going to settle in.
Just call it Murderline.
Oh, it's so great.
Just change the show.
Like, I don't watch
Murderline.
Dateline, but I am watching David Bernad's show, White Lotus. I haven't finished it. Now, that's crime.
Uh-huh.
I think it starts with a missing person.
Our old intern.
I think you're correct, yes.
Now, have we reached out to David to try to book him on the show? Have we done that yet? No. We should.
He's probably too busy pitching new silly ideas to come
on the
show.
It did throw me in the very first episode. One of the characters played by Steve Zahn, he thinks he has testicular cancer.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And they gratuitously have a shot of him holding his junk.
I do remember
and his
that.
Wife looking at his...
It is
his
Bozak.
His, yeah.
Sure.
On the show.
Yes. Like, he's holding his...
right.
His twig.
His potato
sack. She's
sack.
Checking out the berries.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And they show it?
They show
it's
it.
It's all wrinkly and everything?
They show it, yeah. I mean it's not smooth. They're not.
He's not a baby.
Yeah.
You're right.
It was like they're swollen.
Yeah, they could have done without that.
Does he have? Does he have the testicular? Does he
ultimately
have it?
No.
Ultimately
he's
no.
Being
isn't it normally something that plagues you if you're like a teenager in your early 20s? I feel like once you reach a certain age, you're less likely
don't
to
know.
Have that.
I
yeah.
I tapped out at AP Biology where I got a C or a D.
Right.
Eric, that doc you're talking about.
Keep Sweet.
Yeah, it's about Warren Jeffs. Remember Warren Jeffs from
Church like
of the Latter-day
polygamist.
Saints?
Yeah.
And he was having sex with all of his so-called kids. You wouldn't want to watch
that. That's disturbing.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to watch
I don't think I could do that.
Is he dead or is he just...
I think...
No, I think he's still alive.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's just in jail forever.
And I saw that guy. There was a lot of stories about it, but that Keith Raniere guy who was in that sex cult with that actress. Remember that guy? Mm. And he was sentenced. Apparently, he just got beat up in prison by his His inmate.
His roommate.
Whatever you call that.
Cellmate.
Cellmate beat the crap out of
him. If I ever am thrown in prison, I want a single. I do not want to share a cell. Because right. I don't think that's going to go well. I just don't think it's going to. It'd be bad.
What would you rather have?
Yes.
A random roomie.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have
in
two
prison.
Choices, right?
Okay.
And you know that roomie has committed like a serious crime.
Okay. I don't want
to. Murder, right. Armed robbery, yeah. Something.
Like a felony assault
or
something.
Or solitary confinement.
Oh, solitary confinement.
Even if it's
solitary confinement. They people are going crazy.
I mean, look.
They give you an hour a day outside.
Don't stuff me in a box like they do to the dude in Zero Dark Thirty. I'm not talking about that sort of style. That's torture. But just
you want a little sunlight?
I mean, I would like some. Can I get a sliver of sunlight? Are we talking total darkness? Like what's
the scenario? I think you go crazy. You lose your brain.
You got a light bulb in there.
I got a light bulb?
It's not dark.
Okay,
yeah, you can read in your solitary
confinement. Because I don't want the guy in the prison who's assaulted people or murdered somebody doing the same to me. I won't get assaulted by myself.
Is Scott Peterson in solitary confinement?
I don't even know.
Isn't he in the Supermax?
He might be.
With all the terrorists and everything? I think he is.
I thought he was in San Quentin.
Isn't that the same thing?
I mean,
No. Supermax is in Colorado.
Where's San Quentin? Just in California?
California. Yeah.
Imagine your first day. You're wrongfully imprisoned for something.
Right.
Your first day when you have to sit down at the lunch table.
and chat up these guys.
Like you don't
your
know
new best friends.
Where are you going to sit?
Yeah.
They're all sizing you up.
No, I need to find
That's absolutely terrifying.
Again, I need to find a table by myself.
Hey, a great lead-in for Coach Love. Great lead-in discussion for Coach
murder.
Love.
And, like, polygamous.
Yeah. I bet you he watched.
Warren Jeff to Coach Love.
Do you think he ever listened to Serial?
No.
No.
You think he never
no
got
chance.
Caught up in that cultural phenomenon?
Impossible.
He might have.
Three of the junkies did.
No way.
You guys are.
You know, we can ask Coach Laviolette.
You guys aren't that plugged in.
Have you ever listened to the Serial podcast?
Oh, please don't ask.
All right, I'm going to ask him. Let's take wagers right now. Has he listened to Serial or watched Making of a Murderer? I bet you he's done one of the
I'm
two.
Guess
I bet
no on both.
No
There's
on both?
Chance,
no on
okay,
both.
There's a chance he's
no
watched.
Dollar.
There's a chance he's watched on Netflix.
Of course.
All right, when we come back, we will be joined by the Washington Capitals head coach, Peter Laviolette. The Junks broadcasting live from the MedStar Capitals Iceplex. We'll be right back on The Fan. Welcome back to the show. Junkies on the road on an open line Thursday. We're broadcasting live from MedStar Capitals Iceplex for Washington Capitals Media Day. And approaching the broadcast table right now is head coach Peter Laviolette. He's sitting down with the Junks as training camp
Finally.
Is about to get underway here in Arlington. I think this is our first in-person with Coach Laviolette.
Coach,
how are you, Coach?
Morning, guys.
Good to see you, man.
What's so long with the invite?
I don't know. I blame cake.
It's not my fault.
That dang COVID and the restrictions that we deal with, right?
Ridiculous. Can you believe the season's here already, Coach?
I think it's been a long time, actually. It seems the summer's long, and I think guys are anxious to get going. They're at a point right now where they're working out every day, and they'd rather just get going with exhibition games and get into the season.
I'm very regretful that we didn't make the trip down to Beer Can Alley because I saw that you put your house for sale.
Why'd you do
down
that?
In Florida.
Why didn't you put in a bid, Cakes?
Well, it's a tad out of my price range.
Why'd you do that, Coach?
Yeah, that wasn't this summer. That was last summer, actually.
Summer?
And,
all right.
It just got I saw it out there as well. It got reported late. We're moving. We just bought a lot of land, so we're living in a little retirement community right now, but we bought a lot of land, and we're going to build on it. So.
Are you in the villages?
Nice. I'm not in the village, no. The village has come a long way, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But so, you'd be heartbroken here. They shut Beer Can Alley down for the boats. They don't allow them up anymore. So.
That is terrible news.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with your yacht, Kate? Yeah.
Why did they shut it down?
I think it was they said it was getting too close to some houses, and nobody swims off those houses, but somehow they got swimming buoys put around the front of it. You can't pull up anymore.
So. Gotcha.
Rich people.
Anyway, we'll find somewhere else to dock the boat.
Coach, the season's here. You guys got a game on Sunday?
Yeah.
The Sabres.
Buffalo.
Sabres.
Yeah.
And obviously the big off-season acquisition was Darcy Kuemper, who, of course, won a cup last year. He ranks first in the NHL in save percentage, second in GAA since 2017-2018. His next game is going to be his 300th career NHL contest. So he obviously had a great year last year, won a cup, and you guys signed him to a huge deal. And goaltending was a big mystery last year for you guys, and we asked you about it every week. But now you got your guy.
Yeah, it's a really good sign for us. He's like you mentioned, the numbers, they don't really lie. Since 2017, he's been one of the top guys in the league. He's a veteran goaltender. He brings a lot of experience. Recently, a Stanley Cup champion. So it's good that we're able to put a guy like that in the net. And Vitek and Samsonov, Vanacek and Samsonov, they're young goalies. They did a good job for us. They gave us a chance to win. But when you get a chance to sign a guy like Darcy Kuemper and put him on your roster and put him in the net for a whole bunch of games and hopefully a whole lot of playoff games.
Was it somebody you targeted, or did it kind of fall in your lap? Like you had an opportunity, and you're like, whoa, we got to pounce on this.
Well, I think probably a lot of teams were out there just kind of looking to see what's available. And, Brian did a great job this summer, just not only with him, but filling some other holes as well, just based on injury. And so, we had it'll be a different looking goal for us for sure this year, but there's no denying the fact that he's like you mentioned with the numbers, he's been one of the good ones for about 5 or 6 years.
And it's a full revamp of the goalie room too. You bring in Charlie Lindgren, a guy with I think 29 starts over 6 seasons in the NHL. What does he bring to that goalie room?
So Charlie's a real competitive guy. You see him out here. He's a real positive guy, good guy, competitive in the net. When we were going through the scouting and looking for somebody else to fill that role, he was a guy that kept coming up, and we were able to sign him too. So, like you said, it's going to be a new look in net, and we're really excited about it.
How does it work for you as a head coach? So the season wraps up, you get bounced in the first round. It's not what you would have liked.
No.
How long does it take to kind of decompress and then assess what was missing in the team? Because I'm sure when you started the season, you're thinking we can compete for a championship. It doesn't happen. How does it kind of work through the off season?
I think you go back and just look at it and evaluate it and where you can get better. That Florida series is tough. Like, everybody left there really disappointed. The players, the coaches, the staff, the organization, the fan base. We were in a position to win hockey games against a pretty good hockey team.
Right, there's not much separation.
Well, we didn't get it done. In games 4, 5, and 6, we had opportunities to seal the deal, and we should have closed it out, and we didn't close it out, and so that's on us. And when you go into the off season, I think you're just looking at your lineup and you're talking about the future and where you could possibly get better. And Darcy Kemper's a guy where we talked about him, where maybe we could get better. And so, there were other additions as well. And I think you just look to try and make the best team that you can. The regular season, it's never a guarantee. You got to fight for it every day. There's a lot of teams that improved even inside of our division. So we're going to have to be good out of the gate and get going right away. But I think our guys are really excited about the team we're going to have on the ice.
I know one thing we talked about a lot last year, and we talked to you about it, was it didn't seem like the special teams units were where they had been in the past with the Capitals. What did you guys do to maybe upgrade? I mean, we'll see how it plays out in the season. Penalty kill, and then also, obviously, taking advantage of power plays.
Yeah, so I thought the penalty kill was pretty good.
Okay.
You know, I think in the course of a season, there's always, I think, some ups and downs. You hope to get out of those down cycles pretty quick and stay in the upper echelon of what things are doing on the ice. But I thought that the penalty kill operated really good in the power play and the you know, in the playoffs, they killed off every opportunity that Florida had, and so you know, I can't say that that was something that could have been better. The power play. It got a big bump when Nick Backstrom and TJ Oshie came back into the lineup. Those are two guys that, you know, are really, really good at what they do. Nick's one of the best in the league on the half wall. And TJ Oshie is the best, one of the best in the league at that guy, that bumper, that man in the middle. Mm-hmm. And not only can he make plays, but he can score goals from there. And when he starts to score goals, it opens up Alex a little bit more and just presents different opportunities, having those guys making plays and as a threat in the middle to score. And so I thought we came around towards the end of the year, but there was definitely a patch there in the middle where the power play needed to be better. We addressed it all the time. You know, you still got to remember that the power play, you know, you talk about Darcy over a 5-year span, the power play over a 10-year span has been top five in the league and has done a good job. So we'll look to get better and improve. We got some new pieces to put on the power play, and I think that's going to be exciting as well. But we got a lot of work to do. We'll start working on things and sorting things out in training camp here, start sorting them out on practice, and then eventually when, you know, our guys get more into the exhibition games, they'll be light at the beginning, but when they get more into the exhibition games, we can start working on that on the ice and games as well.
Joined by Capitals head coach Peter Laviolette. We know that Willie and Backstrom won't be ready to start the season. You touched on some of the new pieces that are going to be here. Connor Brown and Dylan Strome, two of the foremost pieces that are going to be assimilated into the team. Talk about what they bring. Brown comes in via trade. Strome, yeah, signs a 1-year deal.
Well, Brown was the first guy in the door. I thought it was just a really good move. I think everybody really likes Connor Brown. Most teams across the league, most people watching him play, they like him. He's got a tenacity to his game. He plays the game hard. He competes hard. You know, he's able to chip in offensively with 20-plus goal seasons as well. And so we feel like we got a really good piece to just move through the lineup. Not sure exactly where it will start for him. He's going to get a look in different places. He'll get a look on the Kuznetsov line. He'll get a look with Lars Eller, and so he's going to find different places to go. Strome was the
next. So he's a second line type guy?
I
not sure. He's
you
not sure yet.
Not sure yet. Just because of the, you know, what we're dealing with Tom and Nick. I'm not sure where it's going to fit, and so we're going to try things in practice. We're going to try things in exhibition games and see where it goes and what looks good with Kuzi and Ovi. And if we can find the right mix here, it could be him. We'll give him a look and we'll see. Strome was a really good pickup, I thought, just because, again, guy that plays center, so it puts five centermen in our lineup. You know, you have, not counting Nick Backstrom, so I always like to have five centermen in there because when somebody goes down, you can just move pieces inside your lineup and get them there. We're going to try him at center. We're going to put him at center, put him at wing. He plays both positions. Again, I think through the course of training camp, we'll find out where it fits.
What's the realistic expectation for Nicky, right? Because he's dealing with, like, a degenerative thing, right? It's not something that's going to get better.
Well,
Willie's going to get better.
He had it repaired, and I think, you know, right now he's in the room. He's feeling good from a life standpoint, he's moving well, but there are checkpoints along the way that I think that inside the room, the trainers are working with him, the strength coach is working with him to try and get him back to a good level of play. But there's no rush on this as well because it was something that was, you know, substantial. They want to make sure that they're doing the right things. They're being very patient, very cautious with it.
Can you explain in layman's terms what they did?
I can't, to be honest with you. You know, I'm
like
my Westfield State degree doesn't go that high. So, but
what was your degree in?
I had a degree in business management and a minor in psychology, and I've yet to take them for a ride. not sure that I want to, but they're always there.
All right, we have a dollar on this.
All right, $1.
Did you listen to the Serial podcast when it was popular back in 2015-16 or watch Making of a Murderer on Netflix? So one's a crime podcast, yeah. The other is a crime doc.
That would be a no.
Scanning the memory banks.
I did not.
Yeah.
Oh! Boy wins a dollar.
I did
Thank
not
you. Venmo you.
Thank
I know.
You, yeah. You know what? You're too busy watching, you know, film breakdowns of the Flyers, the Rangers, and all that.
Or the stuff my wife puts on at night. So.
That too.
Yeah.
Right.
Real quick, 30 seconds. Yeah. When do we expect Willie back?
Same thing. You know, you don't see, he's not on the ice here. He's doing really well.
Okay.
He's moving through the process the same as Nick. And so he's having good days. He's checking boxes off. He's with his trainers and the strength coach. You know, there's they listed him down the road when they talked about the injury. So it's not we're not talking about training camp here.
Right.
So he's down the road a little bit, but I will tell you that they're both doing very well.
Good.
And they're working hard every day.
So you're optimistic.
We're optimistic. They're in great spirits and they're training hard every day.
Good.
Coach Laviolette, great to meet you finally in
Same
person.
Here, guys.
Best of luck in training camp. You dropped the puck preseason Sunday, and then October 12th will be here before we know it as you take on the Bruins. In the opener at Capital One Arena. It's head coach Peter Laviolette, live from MedStar Capital's Iceplex. Don't forget, Lars Eller joins us coming up at 8:20.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.